Hey, moms, welcome to this episode of the Dorenda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorenda, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to 11, and 30-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of four books, The Unhurried Homeschooler, Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, and The 4-Hour School Day. And my most recent publication, which I keep forgetting to mention until the very last minute, is Raising Boys to Men, a simple, mercifully short book on raising and homeschooling boys. It has just been a blast to see this thing go out. It's been about a month since it published, and we have literally thousands of moms have bought the book and have read the book and have gotten back to me and just been so encouraged and when it comes to raising their sons. And so I'm super excited about that. If you haven't checked that out, please go to Amazon. You can find it there in the printed copy and in Kindle. If you want the audio version, it is coming out on April 15th exclusively at my website. So be sure to be watching for that. Also, I'm going to be speaking at several conferences during the homeschool conference season. I would love to meet you in person. I'll leave a link in the show notes to tell you exactly where I'm going to be. And if you've got teens, be sure to listen after the prayer at the end of this episode to hear about an opportunity you're not going to want to miss out on. Are you considering a new math curriculum? It's kind of getting to be that time of year where we're starting some moms, not me, but a lot of moms, thinking about next year, next year's curriculum. And you're thinking about considering a new math resource. Well, CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animations synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray makes learning math easy and effective. CTC is favorably reviewed at Kathy Duffy's 103 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review. The lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Now, one of the main reasons that so many of us homeschool is that we want our kids to know and love Jesus and become lifelong disciples of Him. Today, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to raise our kids to follow Christ. Before we dive into that topic, I have one last sponsor I want to make sure that you know about. It's Heritage Defense. When people hear about reports to CPS against homeschool families, they tend to think of families with school-age children. But many families are being reported for situations involving even younger children, especially if there is an accidental injury. Membership with our sponsor, Heritage Defense, is not limited to families with just school-age children. Heritage Defense also provides full legal representation to Christian families who intend to homeschool when the time comes. Young children with accidental injuries can often be reported to CPS by medical personnel for innocent accidents. Don't wait for an unexpected injury or other false report of abuse or neglect, you can get peace of mind by signing up with Heritage Defense today. Go to heritagedefense.org. I'll leave a link in the show notes and you can learn more there. So as Christian values come under attack increasingly in our modern world, many parents wonder how to build the strong spiritual foundation their children will need to learn to understand what is truly important in life. And so this is a topic I like to periodically cover because, you know, homeschooling isn't just about reading, writing, and math. Those are important. But I think at the end of the day, for most of us, our desire is above anything else that our children learn to know Christ and to love Him and to follow Him all the days of their lives. Today, Leanne Mancini is joining me. She is the founder of Raising Christian Kids, a nonprofit organization that provides families with free and affordable resources to help their children develop a strong biblical foundation. She's the author of Raising Kids to Follow Christ, Instilling a Lifelong Trust in God. Leanne hosts the Raising Christian Kids podcast, where she equips and empowers her listeners to be the best spiritual leaders for their children. She's also an adjunct professor at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Leanne is the author of the Sea Kids series books and the executive producer of the Sea Kids animation series featured on Right Now Media, Pureflix, Answers TV, and other streaming platforms. Her website, raisingchristiankids.com, offers free resources for families and ministries. She loves to read, teach, and spend time with her family. She gives glory and honor to the Father in all her endeavors and is blessed to be called by God to help all who are raising the next generation. That's you, moms. Welcome, Leanne. We're so happy you're here today.
Thank you, Dorinda, for having me. I'm so excited to be on your show. And I can't wait to have you on my show for your book, too. I can't wait to get that information out there.
Yeah, yes. It'll be a lot of fun. But I'm so glad you're here today because this topic is so important. And I think it's so important for us to revisit this regularly because we can get so caught up in the minutiae of homeschooling that we forget about the discipleship, or it just sort of gets pushed off to the side as sort of a little bit of a side dish when it really should be the main dish. But, you know, I love what you said, what it says in your bio about being called by God to help all who are raising the next generation. There aren't that many of us out there. And so I'm so thankful for you because there's really just, like I said, not a ton of what we would call mentoring type moms who are out there really staying true to biblical truths. And everybody has their place. I know there's people who feel called to the political sphere and all of that, and that's all well and good. But there's just a really deep need. And I hear from moms all the time, and this is how I know, there's a deep need for these kinds of mentors in the lives of moms. So I am so glad that you're following the Lord's lead on this and helping so many families.
Thank you. My kids are grown, 33 and 31, but mm-hmm. You know, God has called me and I'm being obedient to the call. And you know what? I love doing this. Mm. I love teaching and helping and instructing. That's my gift, researching. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to share this information and help any family that I can.
Well, let's just take a second then and just sort of talk about what you're most passionate about when it comes to mentoring the parents who are raising the next generation. Because I know, like me, this is the investment of a lifetime. I'm sure that's what you see this as. Like, this is how we affect the upcoming generation and ultimately the culture. And what we see in culture can be so discouraging. But I feel like as older women, we have this ability to think in terms of the long game. And so I think we understand that it's a change that'll happen, but it'll happen one family at a time. So share with us what you're most passionate about when it comes to mentoring the parents who are raising the next generation.
Well, I think we need to just take a deep breath, a collective deep breath. And just know, remember, God is in control of everything. He's sovereign. That means he allows things to happen or he ordains things to happen. Mm-hmm. And so when we trust in him and we do the best we can to the best of our ability, we educate ourselves and we pray and we ask for the leading from the Holy Spirit, that's what we need to do. And to simplify things in life, don't make your life so busy trying to achieve the unachievable or what you think needs to be done that you miss out on the most important thing, and that's loving your children and drawing them close to the Lord. You know, Deuteronomy 6, when you rise up, when you walk along the path, when you lie down, that's the most important thing over washing dishes, piles of laundry, a house that's not as kept as you would like it to be. When you were single, everything was in its spot. I know I was like that. Everything had its place. And then when I had kids, it was all over, you know, like everything was all over. But this is such a short time. So just to take a deep breath, let the Holy Spirit guide you, trust the Lord and pray and love your children and do the best you can to your God-given ability. God has called you to raise that child and he will equip you. Just step out in faith.
Yep, that's absolutely right. And, you know, I think that you're not saying that's all we're doing at the detriment of everything else.
No.
You know, sometimes the best thing we can do is pull our kids in with us to do those things. I remember pulling the kids alongside of me and we would fold laundry and talk. And sometimes, quite often, they turned into some pretty deep conversations. So, you know, I love that because that was a win-win scenario.
Yeah, it's life skills, right? Exactly. We want to teach them life skills.
Yeah, and if we can teach them life skills and keep moving forward with, you know, some of the things we have in front of us. But I hear what you're saying. There are points in our day or in our weeks where we do have to give up one for the other. And I think what you're saying is don't be afraid to do that because it's worth it.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I love that. So Christian parents are really feeling challenged right now as we look around at the culture, and it can be so easy to get discouraged. And I love having your voice here because it's a positive, hopeful voice, because what I see is so many people our age are so depressing when it comes to how they speak to the next generation or how they speak about what's happening. Yes, there are bad things happening. Yes, there are discouraging things happening, but how we communicate, you know, or position ourselves with those things, I think is so important. How we communicate who God is in the midst of all of this is so important, because it could be, like I said, so easy to get discouraged. And I hear so many of my own age of people, especially like on Facebook and places like that, which is a lot of ick, but there's some good things going on, but there are a lot of not great things. And I get a little bit upset because I feel like some of the older generation is not really giving hope to the younger generation. And yes, we have challenges as Christian parents, but what would you say to these Christian parents as they're facing these challenges, but also as they're trying to raise their children to know, love, and follow Jesus? What do you think the biggest challenges are, and what do you think, how do you think they should be viewing those challenges?
Well, first let me say, we've heard this before, and I'm sure our parents heard it before, mm-hmm. and they've said often, I cringe when I hear this, well, I'm glad I'm not raising my children in this day and
right?
age.
Right? I hate that so much. Oh my goodness.
Because do you think our parents had it any better or the parents before them? There's always struggles, trials, tribulations. There's always problems in the world because it's a fallen world. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. just different. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. But it's still a struggle to raise children. It always has been because we live in a fallen world.
Right.
But I think the biggest issue right now is, of course, the media. We know that.
Right.
You know, I just want to share something that your listeners may not know that I'm just so excited about. And it's a new phone called TrueMe. Mm-hmm. And that's TrueMi. Now, this phone grows with your child. So if your child has to have a phone for whatever reason, you can start out with just mom and dad's phone number on this phone. Then you can add grandma. Then you can add, you know, an mm-hmm. uncle or an aunt mm-hmm. or then some friends. And they vetted every application. And what they found was when they took the phones away from the teenagers and they gave them these phones, they complained. They were so upset. They were crying, whining. You know, how could you do this? You destroyed my life. Later, the teenagers came back to the parents and they said, you know, we want to thank you for this phone. You want to know why? Because when so-and-so says, hey, look at this app or look at this new thing or connect to this, all I say is, look, I can't because my phone won't allow me. My parents mm-hmm. bought me this phone. So it takes off the peer pressure.
Right.
But I think what the biggest obstacle, it always has been this, is facing the secular anti-Christian world. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, trying to raise your child to have a biblical worldview in a world that's mostly unbiblical.
Right.
And so the best thing you can do is to know the Word of God, to pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance, to live out what you know to be true, and let your children see you doing that. I'm sure your parents have heard this over and over again, but it's worth repeating mm-hmm. because it's so true. And then role play with your children, no matter what age they are. If they have a situation they're facing, role play. Prepare them mm-hmm. What to say ahead of time or how to behave. Mm-hmm. Help them to become critical thinkers. Before you answer their questions, ask them. So if your child comes to you and says, you know, Johnny says it's okay to have two mommies or whatever.
Right, right.
You know, is that real, mom? Mm-hmm. You know, ask your child, well, what do you think? Do you think that's okay?
Mm-hmm. That's key right there. You didn't answer the question. You let them answer the question, because when they answer the question, they own it.
Yes. And they become critical thinkers. And then mm-hmm. you're afforded the opportunity to understand what they view, whether it be right or wrong, and then address it appropriately.
Right. Right. Well, and I love you that you said that, because it's actually my next question. You know, as homeschoolers, we can sometimes assume that our kids are absorbing the faith. And we also know that more is caught than taught. Setting the example is huge, like you mentioned, because I always say kids can sniff hypocrisy a mile away, right? So they're watching us, even though we may not think they are. They are. They're absorbing that. And that's a huge part of instilling a strong faith in our kids. But I love what you just answered. And that I was going to ask the question, what would you say are some of the most effective ways we can be intentional, or basically test the waters to see what our kids are actually believing? And so you just nailed it on the head. It's the questions. It's, you know, often answering a question with a question. Jesus did that a lot in scripture. But I think it's just, it's the other thing that's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Just another reason to do this, I guess, is when we ask our kids questions, they feel valued, as though we care what they think, we care what their thoughts are and their opinions are about that. So it's kind of a win-win. You know, we're building their confidence, they're feeling valued, but also we're hearing back, we're getting that feedback that we so much need as parents. Because I've had conversations with my kids before while they were growing up about, you know, certain topics. And it was often a surprise. Sometimes it would be something like, it could be a positive surprise or a negative surprise. I would be surprised how much they knew and how deeply they had thought about the topic and actually grasped that topic. And then other times, I was like, what in the world? We've been over this and you still don't, I mean, in my head, I'm not saying this out loud, but you're not actually getting this. And so, so thankful that I took the time to ask the question and go there with that child. So I love that question asking. That's wonderful. So this book that you just published called Raising Kids to Follow Christ, can you tell me what made you write this book? Like, I know as an author, it's, you know, when you're supposed to do something as a believing author, you know, who trusts in God for direction. What, tell us a little bit of the background as to what made you decide to write this book? Like, what were you feeling passionate about? What were you trying to accomplish?
Well, that's a great question. About 5 years ago, I was reading the statistics because I love to read everything and research and find out what's going on. And I noticed that 40% of our middle schoolers who are from Christian families were walking away from their faith, and then 65% from high school and college. And I thought, Lord, we're not raising strong Christians to be in the four pillars of society, such as government, academia,
right,
the church, and the media. And this is why I see things happening the way they're happening in the world. It's being run by secular, unchristians or followers who don't follow Christ.
Right.
And I was getting worried. That's a high statistic. Mm-hmm. So I started researching what could be done and how we could help parents. Because I found out parents, a lot of parents are unchurched, or they have what Ken Ham calls a Sunday school faith, and that just doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Have to dig deeper and be prepared to raise your children and have that strong faith. So I did all this research, and then I felt the Lord calling me to have a podcast. I said, okay, Lord, I had no plan on having a podcast or writing a book.
Right. I've been there. You know.
And so I started sharing the information on the podcast, and I was getting a great feedback. And then I felt the Lord saying, okay, you need to put all this information, all this research in a book that parents can hold in their hand, not a fluff book.
Right.
Not a book that says, you know, come on, mama, dada, let's hold your hand and I'll give you a couple examples. No, an application book, a book that parents can actually read. There's 312 references of God's word in this book. And I have an index in the back. There's a chapter on disciplining, because you can't raise a child well if he's not disciplined well.
Right.
There's a chapter on apologetics. You have to train your children to be able to defend their faith in a loving manner and believe it because it's in their heart and not in their head.
Right.
So all of these things I was learning through my research, and then fast forward now, just a few months ago, I've had George Barna on my show twice. He's great. And this last time I had him on and we talked about his new book, Raising Spiritual Champions. Dorinda, I have to tell you, the tears came down my eyes when I read the latest statistics. 70% of 13 to 14-year-olds from Christian families don't believe Satan is real. They believe he's a fairy tale. 84% don't believe we're born into sin and need salvation.
Wow.
90% believe there's no absolute moral truth. And then the statistics for the children's Christian pastors, 53% believe in reincarnation. 56% believe that there's no absolute moral truth. And 50%, and this when I read this, I was just so upset. 50% believe that Jesus actually sinned while he was on earth.
Yeah.
So now we see what's happening. The church is not supporting parents. Mm-hmm. Parents are looking for help and support and guidance and direction. And they want to know not only what needs to be done, but how to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what this book is. It's a how-to.
I love that. I love that because that's what I get a lot from moms is like, okay, I understand the theory, the idea, the principle. How do I apply this? And so application is huge. It is important to understand the principle, obviously, but the application of it is where the rubber meets the road. And it, you know, and I think that you're right. The church has, in many ways, unfortunately, failed parents and failed in equipping them with a biblical perspective on parenting. What does it look like to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? What does that actually mean? And what does that look like? And then we have to be willing to move forward in obedience, whether or not we have other people's approval or not. This is another thing that I get a lot from moms is like, I don't know how to deal with the extended family members who don't appreciate what we're doing. In fact, they're actually hostile towards it or they're criticizing all the time. And that's a hard place to be, but it's one of those things that God calls us to. It's one of the ways that we stand for Christ in the midst of a depraved generation. And, you know, no offense to your extended family, but if they're, you know, sometimes they say that, you know, it's Christian, even Christian extended family. And your statistics right here just explained why that happens.
Yes, absolutely.
Because they're not, we haven't been equipped. And, but the thing that I have noticed that is really making me super excited is that this upcoming generation is hungry for the truth.
Yes.
They have seen it all. They've seen it come. They've seen it go. They recognize that this is bunk and they want the truth and they're desperately searching for it. And so I love that because the scripture says, you know, like God said, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. So God's going to honor that effort. And so it's great to be able to be part of that in bringing biblical truth and practical application to families. So let's talk a little bit about, there was this part in your book that you mentioned that you had a thought that scared you to the core. And it was an image that Jonathan Edwards, the North American revivalist preacher from the 1700s, used to frighten parents. And you said it's a very vivid example. So I'd love for you to talk about that and your reaction to it.
Well, as I said, I researched the brightest minds in children's spirituality. I read over 250 parenting books, Christian parenting books, and I even researched some of the older stuff. And then I found Jonathan Edwards, who at that time he was a revivalist preacher in the 1700s, and he wanted to scare parents because he wanted parents to understand how important it was to raise our children to believe in Christ. So he said, I want you to all envision yourselves in heaven sitting at the heavenly banquet table, enjoying all the delicacies that heaven has to offer and all the beauty of heaven and being with God and Jesus and his spirit. And you're looking around the table and you see your mother and your father and your cousins and friends, but you don't see your children.
Mm.
And when I thought about that, oh my gosh, you know, I never thought the possibility that my kids would never be in heaven with me for all eternity. And the thought of knowing where they were, that startled me. The tears came down my eyes. I said, Lord, please help me to be the parent you want me to be. Equip me. Even as an adult parent, a parent of adult children, our parenting's not done.
No.
Please, Lord, help the parents now who are raising children. Help them to understand that you've equipped them. You've given them everything they need organically. You know, when they rise up, when they walk along the path, when they lie down, according to Deuteronomy 6, to have and to have fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot you can do, you know, in a fun way so your children will learn to live according to God's word. And know that it is good. It tastes good. Jesus is wonderful. We love him. He's everything.
Mm-hmm.
To live on heaven as if we're living, to live on earth as if we're living in heaven. It can be done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that taste that our little ones get, and it does start at a very early age. So I think that we are responsible as parents to reflect the goodness of God to our children. We show them in our everyday life what the good life really is. And so I can give you a quick example when, you know, when you have eight kids, you get a lot of questions, comments, things like that. It's not something that my husband and I ever let bother us. And I know it really bothers some people, and I don't know what the deal was, but we really honestly didn't care because we cared more about our children and their future than about what some random person that we're never going to see again had to say. But there would be comments made in front of our children, things like better you than me, things like that. And it could just roll off of me because I honestly, my answer would be, yeah, I agree with you. Because, you know, if you don't see these children as a blessing, I'm not saying this out loud, but I'm thinking to myself, if you don't have children, if that's what you think of children, don't have them. But I had to think about, how are my kids taking this in? They heard all of this. And I remember one of our kids said, do they think we're deaf or something? Like, we can't hear them? You know, and that's one thing that I think is so important as Christian parents is to communicate value to your children. And one of the ways you do that is by showing them what is most important to you, and that is your love for Christ. But back to my story, we would get back in the car and my husband and I would say, okay, who heard that comment? You know, we'd make sure, check in with everybody. Okay, so here's the deal, you guys. We would say, listen, that person is a fool. They do not understand that God's word is true when it says that children are a blessing. And you know what? They're the ones missing out. So all we can tell you is we are so happy you're here and we are so happy you're part of our family. It's everyday life, things like that, that we show our kids, this is the good life. And for our family, having a bunch of kids was the good life. And all of our kids absorbed that and took that in. And that's just one, that's not a salvation principle or anything like that, but it's a value that we pass on to them. And we do the same thing, you know, we do that with biblical principles as well. I mean, which are obviously the most important thing, but we show them like, what's the most important thing? Oh, people are more important than things. The most important commands in scripture, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. How can we do that in this situation? Or just within the four walls of our home?
Yeah, I love that you said, you know, about telling our children that we love them. I always say, just go beyond that. Say, I love you. And I'm so happy that God gave you to me, that you're my child, and that I get to parent you. What an honor the Lord has given me to parent you. You know, take it a step further.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, it's from the womb to age 3 where you're preparing that soil. There's so much you can do. I have so many examples how to do that. And then from age 4 to 7, you plant seeds in a rich soil that grow deep roots. And then you have that foundation built. And then from age 8 to 13, you build upon that foundation. Mm-hmm. A child's mm-hmm. worldview starts to formulate at 15 months. Mm. And it's solidified pretty much by the age of 13. So yes. you have this short period of time. You know, I had my niece come to my house with her little one. She had a 2.5 and a 6-month-old. And she said, "Aunt Leanne, I'm just worried. I want to stay home and raise my kids, but I miss going to work and we could use the extra money." So I took her hand and I walked her over to a portrait of my children hanging on the wall. And I said, "Beth, honey, do you know where these little ones are? I miss them. I would give anything to have them sit on my lap and to give me a kiss and to feel their little hands around my neck one more time. I would give anything to have one more day." And she realized how fast, mm-hmm. when I told her that, it goes by so fast.
It does.
Because from the age 13, they're young adults.
That's absolutely right. What I would love for you to do is, you mentioned those 3 age brackets, and we'll kind of maybe close with this. Tell us a couple of ideas from each of those age brackets, just to kind of give parents a taste for what you talk about in the book.
Okay, well, from the womb, God's word, Psalm 78:6 says, "Teach even to the children yet to be born." Well, what does that mean? Well, at 18 weeks of pregnancy, the baby can hear. So volunteer at your church nursery and let your baby hear the children singing songs of Jesus. And then when they're born and they're infants, still volunteer, because we know the churches need the help. And then on their first day, when they attend by themselves and you go into the sanctuary, there's no tears. Say you have a baby that you're feeding, screaming. The baby's screaming because they're hungry. Give them the bottle, and then they start cooing. And then just say, "Jesus loves you, Johnny. Jesus loves Johnny." What you're doing is you're connecting his needs being met with the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or you have an 8-month-old or 6-month-old laughing in the mirror. You say, "God loves you. God thinks you're beautiful." You're connecting their happy emotions with the name of God.
Right, right.
Now you have a toddler. Instead of saying, "Let's take a nap," say, "Let's take a Sabbath's rest." Now, they don't know what the true meaning of Sabbath is, but they learn it means something to do with rest and to pray to Jesus. Mm-hmm. You're building a category and a vocabulary in their mind for the term Sabbath. The experts have constantly, in my research, say that you never know when a child grasps a biblical concept. Don't hold back on these biblical words. Use them. Then on the ages to 4 to 7, when you're talking about the Sabbath, the true meaning of Sabbath, you're planting rich seeds into deep soil to grow deep roots. And then I say for older kids, maybe you have an older teenager, you haven't been doing all of these things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Simply sit down and have a family meeting and say, kids, we haven't been doing what we really should be doing, but we're going to have a family mission statement and we want you to be a part of planning this. And then we're going to have an obedient contract. So we know, what is expected of you and what the consequences are if you don't behave. We want you to be a part of it. Because if they're a part of it, they're more likely to adhere to the stipulations that you've put into the contract. Mm-hmm. And then you give them 3 reasons why you're doing it. And these are 3 reasons they cannot argue with. "We're doing this because we have to be accountable to God for how we raised you. Mm-hmm. We're doing this because we love you. And we're doing this because we want to keep you safe. This world is a dangerous place." Mm. And so, and stick to those directives in your family mission statement and your contract that you've... And let me tell you something. Children learn quick that they don't have rights except for, they have food, clothing, the basics, necessities. But, having the keys to the car or having a cell phone or the use of a computer is not a right. It's a privilege. Mm-hmm. And if you take those privileges away, you'll see how fast they turn around.
Right.
And
right.
they want to be obedient. So there's just so much you can do.
Yeah, I love that. We would always tell our kids, when with privilege comes responsibility. And you have a responsibility to keep the standards that we've set as parents and as a family. So I love the idea of bringing them in, especially if you're kind of picking this up when they're a little bit older. It's so important that they feel part of it. And again, I think I would encourage parents, listen to what your kids have to say. At the end of the day, you still have the final word, because that is your position, your role as a parent. And I think that's something that's easily forgotten in our culture, because the culture is not raising children really anything close to what the scriptures say. And so we have to make an intentional effort to do that. And as we do that, the way we raise our children, the way we live our lives with our families is going to look counterculture. And if we can just understand that and expect it, that changes everything. Because then when things happen, when we come against some obstacles or opposition, we go, oh yeah, I expected this.
Yes. And you know, in God's word, he says children are our arrows in a quiver. Mm-hmm. So what are those arrows used for? First of all, they're precisely made. They have to be made precise so that they can shoot at the target. Who's the target? The enemy, the devil.
Right, right.
You know, our children, it's about the salvation of our children and the preservation of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'd love for you to tell moms where you can find your books and resources, and I will put all of this in the show notes as well, but just maybe give them the nuts and bolts here.
Well, thank you for asking. Well, first I want to say that all my proceeds from my authorship, my book, my Sea Kids products, our animation series that I have, and we have a new scripture bear that's really cute. He plays 8 Bible verses. So, you know, every kid wants a teddy bear. You might as well have him learn 8 Bible verses. And so all our proceeds are donated to our nonprofit Raising Christian Kids, which Pew Research has indicated that 66% of Christian families live on less than $30,000 a year. They can barely afford necessities, let alone a Bible, a study guide, a children's book, a devotional. So we work closely with the churches, and we have a room at the college, and we stock the room. That's where all my proceeds go. And we give these products to these families for free.
I love that.
And they can find out everything. My podcast, we have a month of apologetics with the experts, a month of disciplining. Go back to the Raising Christian Kids podcast, and it's all on raisingchristiankids.com. And we have free resources also that you can download for free.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we'll leave all that information in the show notes. Thank you so much for being with us today. I'd love for you to close us in a word of prayer.
Thank you, Dorinda. I appreciate that. Dear Heavenly Father, we just bow our heads before you, Lord, and we open up our hearts and our minds, and we ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit and guide us. Let us be good disciples, and let us in turn make our children to be good disciples, to follow you all the days of their lives, and to trust you, to know that you are true and they can trust you and they can trust your word. Help the moms and dads, dear Lord, who are struggling out there, either financially, emotionally, or spiritually. We pray for a legion of angels around these families to protect them and to guide them from the evil one. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you've given us the opportunity to serve you. Holy Spirit, fill us with all of you. Let all our actions and deeds and everything we do and say and every choice we make, let it be all of you and none of us. Mm-hmm. And protect our little ones, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Okay, moms, I have one last resource to share with you. If you've got teens, spring is here. And you know what that means. Camp season is right around the corner. If you're still not sure where to send your teen for summer camp, my friends over at XL College have designed a camp that will equip and empower your teen while giving them the experience of a lifetime. Designed for 16 to 19-year-olds who are looking to grow their faith and leadership skills, XL's Summer Leadership Camp adds value to your teen's life and allows them to build lifelong friendships, all while going on adventures in the Western North Carolina wilderness. But don't wait. There are only 5 sessions this summer with 20 campers per session. Go to the xlcamp.org to register your teen today. Have a great day, moms.